Good to see each one of you. I invite you to turn your Bibles, we'll go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we'll pick it up here in verse number 26. In this chapter, it tells about the Lord's church there that he left in Jerusalem, how great persecution began there in Jerusalem, and they were scattered. It says there the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, and we have the beginning then of going into all the world as the Lord had prescribed, as he had commissioned his church. And we come here with this man named Philip, our brother named Philip, a deacon there in the first church, chosen, one of seven, to be a minister, to be a help with physical things in the church there. And in these verses here, we see how the Lord, in verse number 26, the leadership of the Lord, it says, the angel of the Lord spake to Philip and go down this way. The Lord's got something. He's going to use Philip. Going to use him as a mouthpiece to accomplish. And then we find in verse number 27, verses 27 through 29, that there's a man of Ethiopia. He's a great eunuch under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and so he's got a great responsibility, charge of her treasure. He'd come to worship at Jerusalem and heading back, and he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading in the book of Isaiah. And you and I would know that as Isaiah chapter 53, a wonderful passage about our Savior. And so then we see in verse number 30, in verse 29, that the Spirit said unto Philip, that is the Lord, the Spirit of God, go near and join yourself to this man, to his chariot. You go down there. And I want you to deal with him. I want you to help him. So Philip goes down. He runs thither to him in verse number 30. He reads in Isaiah where it says he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asks him, said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said in verse 31, how can I except some man should guide me? I need some help to understand what I'm reading. And he tells Philip to come up on in the chariot. And it tells us where he was reading there in Isaiah 53. I trust you know about it. The place of the scripture where he read was this, verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, speaking about this one. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. In verse number 34, Philip has obeyed and goes there, and we see this in verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is the prophet speaking about himself, or is he speaking about somebody else? That's what I don't understand. Some other man? And Philip here in his obedience to the Lord, to the Spirit of God. What's it say there? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preaches unto him about the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son, that came and became a man, lived perfect because he is perfect, lived a perfect life. He was penned up for those 33 years and not one blemish was found in him. The man could understand that. Philip is taking this passage here and no doubt preaches about how the Son of Man came and was born, how he lived and he grew up, how ultimately he came, his coming was to give himself a ransom, a sacrifice for sinners, for his people, and that he was died there on Calvary some weeks prior. And was buried, just like it said in the scriptures. And then after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead because he is God. And he, by doing so, he paid for sinners' sins on Calvary. And then he was buried to show that indeed he sacrificed his body, his soul, his blood, all of himself to pay that price, but because he is God, he took his life back again, and he lives forevermore. And by that, he gives life to the likes of people like you and me. He saves sinners. Not only that, he built a church. And Philip no doubt told him, I'm a member of that church in Jerusalem, and we've been given a job to do is to tell folks just like you about how that Old Testament scripture, that's all the scripture that they had then, how Jesus Christ is the answer to all of that. It was all talking about him, and he's come. And he told him, no doubt, he said, he's the Savior that you need. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in building this church, he's made an institution, he's made a place, he might have not used that word, but as the nation was known, now this institution of the church is known. And you know what? Those who are saved, they need to be baptized and they need to join the Lord Jesus Christ's institution. His assembly, his congregation, his ecclesia, as we see it in the Greek. His church, as we see it in our King James translation. And so he tells him all those things. He explains it to him. He makes it as clear as he can. He answers the man's questions. And so we see here Philip being engaged in this ministry directed by the Lord, to be the mouthpiece of the Lord, to give explanation and sense and understanding about the scripture to what this man was concerned about and dealing with and reading in the scripture. And in verse number 36, we pick it up, and they went on their way, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? It goes on to say, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, the eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. The eunuch, our Ethiopian brother, he went on his way rejoicing. Philip obeyed the Lord and the Spirit of God to go there and engage that man and preach unto him Jesus from those Old Testament passages, and then telling how what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in that day and the way it is now with this New Testament, this church age, this the New Testament that the Lord said was found and understood in his blood, this New Testament in my blood, and how it was shed for the remission of sins, the payment of sins. And then you know what the Ethiopian does? At the hearing of that word, he obeys Christ Jesus. That's what he does. He obeys Christ Jesus. Philip obeys the Lord and goes and tells the man, and then they load up and they're just traveling along. And then the man asks Philip, see, here's some water. What's holding back on me being baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want to follow the Lord and what you have told me. Because, see, in Isaiah 53, it doesn't tell about baptism. So Philip told him and brought this all up to date about what the Lord Jesus had done. If he told him about baptism, he told him about his church. They told him about the obedience that the Lord had commanded to believers. And you know what Philip said? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. Thou mayest. So I just want to, this one point for this morning. Who told this man this? Who told this man this? I know Philip told him and expounded upon the scriptures and brought him up to date about the events concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ had done on Calvary and about building his church and the order of baptism. He may not have told about John the Baptist, but he told about this practice that there is of those who are believers to identify with Christ and being baptized. What is it about baptism when one is put under the water? It tells about Christ and that he died, was buried, and that he rose again. It tells about what has happened with the individual. They identify with the Savior that has done this for them, and they say themselves that they are dead to self, sin, and the world, and alive unto Christ. And so the man says, why can't I be baptized? Here's water. We've got the water we need. And Philip says, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believe what? Well, to believe in Christ Jesus, in his name, in what he's done. Do you believe that he's done it for you? And when that man gives an answer, he says, I believe that Jesus, that's his name given to him at his birth, like you and I were given names by our parents. Christ, that's who he is. That's his office, one of his offices, one of his title. He's the Savior, the Redeemer, the only one that there is. The Son of God is telling about, he is God the Son, that person of the Trinity. And he is the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. And so I believe that he's all of that for me. Not historically, but I believe that he's the Savior that came and did these things for me. So who told this man this? Philip, the scripture doesn't tell us here that Philip says, hey, here's some water, let's get you baptized. That doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say Philip said, you know what? I believe you're saved. Doesn't say that, does it? And that's what I'm asking in this question. Who told this man these things? Who told this? Yeah, Philip was a conveyor of the scripture and an expounder on the scripture. But this man, when they're riding along there in the chariot, and he sees that pond or that little body of water that's there, he says, Philip, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Who told him that? Who confirmed to our brother, the Ethiopian, who confirmed for him what had happened to him? What had been done to him? Was it Philip? Did Philip confirm him? So, yes, you're saved. Does the scripture say anything about that? Philip just put to him, he put it back on. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He put it back on him, where it should be put, on the individual. Who persuaded? And granted, in that sense of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in the scriptures and has declared, we persuade men, but we understand that we're giving them the word of God and pleading them to believe it and to receive it, but we're doing so externally as the means of the Lord. Just like Philip was the means of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord said, go down here. The Spirit of the Lord said, go over there to that chariot. And go and get busy telling that man, helping that man. And the man posed his quandary. The man brought up about the passage. Who persuaded our Ethiopian brother? Now, I speak about him that way because he's saved, right? Who persuaded him of his need of such a Savior as is described by Isaiah 53? Who persuaded him of that? Who convinced him that these things concerning Christ Jesus are the truth and that he personally needed them? Him. Who did that? Who did that? Who told this man this? Who convicted him that he needed to be baptized to be obedient to his Lord and Savior? You know, we don't see here Philip. Maybe they talked as they went along, but we certainly don't see Philip putting the strong arm on him, do we? We don't see Philip railing on him. He said, well, we've passed five ponds back here. What's the matter with you? He's just talking to him about the thing of the words of the Lord and that, and rides along. Who told this man? Who convicted him that he needed to be baptized to be obedient to his Lord and Savior? Was it Philip? No, it wasn't Philip. Philip told him the truth. But it was the Lord himself that told the man. The Lord himself. So, you know what? Other than a popcorn message, this might be about the shortest message I've ever preached. Don't fall out. I asked the question this morning, who told you? You know, we live in a day and a generation where there are many people going about that they've been told that they're saved by somebody else. I'm talking about a person, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, an evangelist. They've been told by somebody else that they're saved. Well, you know, I know of this. It's a terrible thing. Back in my youth, I know of a pastor that said to these people, they said, well, you do everything right. You behave yourself well. Everything's just all just right. You've got to be saved. Let's get you baptized. That's not what this reflects, is it? Who told you? Who told you about these things? Who told you? Did some person tell you? Did a parent, and granted, parents love their children. We want our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all of our children. Want your children? We want our children to be saved. We have a desire towards them. But did a parent tell that a person, that you were saved? Or was it the Lord, like it was with our brother, the Ethiopian? Who told you? See, the Scripture says these things. Listen, three verses. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, and that's what somebody else telling you that you're saved will do. It'll make you afraid. Because the hinge is on that they told you. Tell you what, being saved is of the Lord. And it's between the individual and the Lord. And like our brother the Ethiopian here, he was told not by Philip that he was saved, but he declared it that he was convicted of it by the Lord. What does hinder me to be baptized and identify with the Savior in baptism? Identify with Christ Jesus. Identify with the one that was prophesied about, that you're telling me, Philip, he came and did it. That even less left a body here about which these things can, from which these things can be administered, and there's a place of service and of worship yet. Not the nation anymore. Remember, he had been to Jerusalem to worship. So he's interested in that. He's interested in what's next. He said, what hinders me? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He says, I believe. I believe in him. He had been told by the Lord. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. That's what that Abba means. Father, Father. The Spirit of the Lord showed him. The Spirit of the Lord convicted him. The Spirit of the Lord revealed this unto him. It's between him and the Lord. In Galatians chapter 4, verse number 6, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. You know who told him? Jesus told him. Jesus told him he needed him. The brother Ethiopian needed him, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus saved him, and Jesus confirmed his faith and his repentance, and it's a transaction between him and the Lord Jesus. Not Philip, not a Sunday school teacher, not a parent, not a pastor, but between that person and the Lord. The Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And what do? We cry, Abba, Father. Lord, thank you for saving me. And a lot of times before that salvation, that rescue comes about, there's that cry of, Lord, help me. And that's good in conviction. And this of Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit, capital S, that's the Spirit of God, one of the Trinity. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's our person, our soul, the seat of the emotion, right down there who you eternally are. The Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So who told Brother Ethiopian? The Lord did. Who told you? I tell you what, if somebody other than the Lord, then you need to take a look at what you believe you've got. But if the Lord told you, then there you are. It's between you and the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, this need of the soul and of salvation of the soul is the most important thing that any person faces. It is of eternal consequence and need. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.